Film students, movie buffs, couch critics, and casual moviegoers, welcome to Wonking Out, where we are talking about the worst mummy movie ever in the history of mummy movies, including future mummy movies. I'm Trisha.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Sarah. Before we get started, we would like to mention that we would love it if you guys reviewed us on Apple Podcasts / iTunes. In fact, we would love it so much that we'll even send you a thank you in the form of a sticker from Rachel's secret sticker stash if you send us an email or a DM on Twitter with a screenshot of your review. I apologize in advance for the quality of my voice, but my brother gave me the plague.
Should trade him in.
Nah, I think I'll keep him, because then I might get a dude bro.
Oh, God. Well, I mean, if the dude bro is Jason Momoa, that might be worth it.
Yeah, my luck, though, I'd get, like, a dude bro that'd be like, hey, you know that Trump guy isn't too bad after all.
Oh,
I'm
God.
Like, get the fuck out of my house.
I want a refund.
So, the Mummy movie came out this year. It was very unfortunate.
It is a thing that happens.
Not one of the wiser decisions we've made in America, although I think it may, well, almost as bad as electing a certain president.
It was a good year for it, I guess.
Yeah, true. So tell us about this movie, Rachel.
Tell us about this movie.
So this movie starred Sophia Boutella, Annabelle Wallace, Russell Crowe, and some dude named Tom Cruise. The movie was directed by Alex Kurtzman. The screenplay is by David Cope, Christopher McQuarrie, and Dylan Cussman. And the screen story is by John Spotts, Alex Kurtzman, and Jenny Lumet. For my own edification, I looked up the difference between screenplay, screen story, and story by, written by, because I've heard of story by versus written by, but I was unfamiliar with this screenplay versus screen story. So just a quick rundown. A story by credit is given to the person or team who came up with the essence of a film, such as the plot or main characters, and who may have written a treatment but who didn't write the screenplay. A screen story by credit goes to a person or team who adapted other material, such as a novel, a TV show, or a news article for film, and made it substantially different from the source. So I'm assuming that the screen story is, they're counting this as an adaptation of the original really old Mummy movies, or an adaptation of the good Mummy movie from 1999. Because there are definitely some similarities.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Which, how dare you?
Yeah.
I refuse to accept that my favorite Mummy movie and this garbage pile are in the same universe.
Right. I mean, it's so different that you couldn't use an ad, you couldn't call it an adaptation because they're so, it's so different.
Yeah.
But the actual summary of this movie is an ancient Egyptian princess is awakened from her crypt beneath the desert, bringing with her malevolence grown over millennia and terrors that defy human comprehension.
This movie defies human comprehension.
Yeah. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you very much.
This is white men doing white men things at its finest, and by finest, I mean its worst.
Yeah. This is a very good example of our favorite / love to hate trope of white men doing white men shit. Trademark, three sassy vagina.
Yeah. Don't you try and steal that from us.
Damn it, Taylor Swift.
All vagina on you.
Yeah, just a nod, a credit.
Yeah.
Trying to find how I described this last night.
You sent us so many texts on our thread. There's just like, what the hell?
So, if you are regular listeners of this podcast, and we hope that you are, you may recall that we did an episode over the good Mummy movie, the 1999 Mummy movie with Brendan Fraser and Rachel Weisz, where
it was excellent.
There was a discussion. Yeah. This movie, the 2017 Mummy movie, was mentioned, and there was some ranting. And we decided that we would, you know, put our money where our mouths were and actually watch this pile of hot garbage.
And let me tell you, it was awful.
So that we could, you know, hate on it up close instead of from far away.
I literally spent money to watch this. I spent $6.
To no one's surprise, it was just as bad / worse than we anticipated.
Yes. As I believe I described it last night, yesterday at 10:50 p.m., I feel like this is The Walking Dead meets Indiana Jones and National Treasure plus BDSM.
Yeah. No, that was accurate.
I felt like the scenes where she's, like, tied up with her arms behind her back and her chest, like, thrust out, you know, male gaze.
So
yeah, that was just a blatant.
Weird and bad.
Blatant call.
Oh, man. Like, I feel that is the perfect jumping off point to talk about things that are wrong with this woman, this movie, is its treatment of its female characters.
That's
we have two female characters. This movie does not pass the Bechdel test because I don't believe these two have a conversation that isn't about a man.
Nope.
Mm-mm.
If these
He's gonna
two
steal your man
all.
Who's not even yeah. your man. I'm gonna steal yeah. him anyway.
He is the chosen. Was it my chosen?
Yes.
Like, Almanette, she brings, like, first, she gets outvoted as a chick because her dad gets a second wife. So she's like, I'm gonna kill you and your baby and all this other stuff. Which, like, there were female rulers in Egypt, right? Yeah. They were pretty okay yeah. with them having yeah. Egyptian queens or pharaohs or whatever.
Yeah, Hatshepsut.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cleopatra.
So it's like, this is some white man nonsense about fucking people writing about a culture that they don't know dick about.
Yeah, this is not the, like, British monarchy.
Exactly.
Although, yeah. set disgustingly in Europe, like, that bothered me so much. And how did they, like, go pick up this DM? Okay, so I was really confused. Where was her sarcophagus? Was it in Egypt or was it in Europe? Because I feel like they get
it was in Iraq because they said that they buried her in Mesopotamia, which is modern day like Iraq.
So how did they get from freaking? So when the airplane goes down, is it over Europe or is it?
Yeah, the airplane goes down over Surrey.
How can get her? Oh, they're all like, ooh, gotta get it on the plane. We have 60 seconds, blah, 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 blah. The sandstorm's coming up. Haul her sarcophagus on the thing, tie it down. Like, how long were they on the fucking plane before it went down?
Well, it was obviously
a hot minute, and then bam, we're
wrecked.
Yeah,
well, they were, like, sleeping. They were asleep. Like, the one dude was asleep, and she was doing something
Nick
when Tom Cruise fell asleep. And
going through zombie shit. So
right.
I think that counts. And
well,
honestly,
but yeah,
other
this
dude first stabbing victim, like, when you're in that line of work, or, like, you know, any line of work, like doctors, you can fall asleep like that. Which is why I'm like,
yeah,
I don't view the sleeping as a good way to show passage of time in this movie.
Right. I think that they were trying to. Well, I think the sleeping plus like, when he woke up from his vision or whatever, because you saw, what's her name? Jenny.
Mm-hmm.
She was, like, walking around the sarcophagus, and she was taking notes in a voice recorder.
Yeah.
Then when he woke up from his vision, she was sitting down, looked like she was listening to her notes and, like, probably transcribing them.
Mm-hmm.
So that, to me, said that they were trying to show passage of time. Also, It's standard flight pattern from, like, the Middle East to go over Europe, like.
Yeah, but I just feel like,
know,
I was
Germany,
like, what the hell,
Germany
like, I feel like we just got on the damn plane, and then suddenly it's crashing, like, we're not on a freaking speedy jet thing.
Well, and somebody in the cockpit said something about London.
Mm.
But
I think that we can say that the structure of this story is
the science
pretty
is
shit.
Loosey-goosey.
Everything is shit in this movie. The story structure is shit. The characters are shit.
They can't even get their Egyptian god names right.
I would also like to point out that, like, his big, like, the big heroic moment that they keep coming back to when she's all like, I know you're a good man because you put a parachute on me and shoved me out the door, right? Excuse me. I'm sorry. You could get the parachute on her. Why couldn't you team jump?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you put it on her, you put your arms through the strap, so you're, like, giving her a hug, and she's like, what are you doing? And then you both go out?
Yeah. Don't be a fucking hero. You're not
Hello.
You're Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Tom Cruise is a hero. I'm like,
it's okay,
it's okay
to save both of you. Like, that's totally acceptable.
He's not a selfless guy. We all know this.
Yeah, that was weird. But yeah, they're like, well, we have to have this moment, because then we can say that we can keep saying that he's a good person.
Yeah.
Because one action that we saw, even though the first time we see him, he's trying to loot graves.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty much like a mercenary / grave robber.
Yeah.
What a guy.
He's really a good guy, because he didn't want to kill her.
Oh, yeah.
No, that just means you're not like a completely reprehensible evil douche nozzle. That doesn't mean that you're a quote-unquote a hero or a good person.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, you have an awesome actress playing our mummy, Sophia Boutella, and then you waste her because she is essentially sort of like, oh, I'm going to bring Seti back to life and then kind of rule alongside him because he's really the one that's going to rule Egypt. It seems like the way that they were structuring it, which is stupid. So stupid.
Yeah.
And then you have your other female character, Jenny. And what is our introduction to her character? Her slapping Tom Cruise in the face because we had a one-night stand and you left me.
He's like, but I didn't I didn't lie to you. I stole from you, but I didn't lie to you. Like, that's so much better.
Yeah. Well, even like the whole, like, she slaps him and then he tries to pretend that he doesn't know who she is.
Hmm.
What the hell kind of bullshit is that?
So much gross old school sexism.
Yeah, it is.
It is just, ugh. And this is again what I continue to harp on with these certain kinds of movies, is this is what happens when you get men that sometimes don't know how to, like, it baffles me that the screenwriter for this movie, one of the screenwriters from this movie, Alex Kurtzman, can turn around and write and work and, like, create shows like Fringe, which I can only credit to the actual writers of the show, because I don't believe this man has a good creative bone in his fucking body.
Yeah.
Because the female characters are so terrible in this movie, they waste awesome characters. Like, Jake Johnson is a ghost for some reason in this movie.
Yeah, that's weird.
It also really bothered me. Okay, like, I just, sidebar. For anybody who's watched New Girl, you know who Nick is. Nick is awkward and yells awkwardly a lot and is just...
Does he date Zoe Deschanel character?
Yeah.
I don't watch that show, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, okay. Well, basically you've watched him because...
it was the same character.
And I got so confused because every time, like, he'd be yelling, weird. Nick, I'm like, Nick, why are you yelling at
yourself? That's you. Yeah,
you
it was as confusing
you
as hell.
You are this character. Like,
yeah, it was like, it was the same character.
Yeah, exactly. Identical fucking character. He just had the wrong name. He got confused.
Sure.
So... I'm just very, very frustrated by that whole thing. So, reading up on one of the goofs on this, thank God for IMDb, one side note that I definitely want to point out that I just came up with this theory, is when Nick and the others discover mercury dripping from the ceiling, they should be sick within a few minutes, especially where the sarcophagus is placed. Mercury Mercury is highly poisonous, and the sickness occurs from touching or inhaling the vapor. So, I have an idea. Maybe the events in this movie were just hallucinations due to mercury poisoning? Maybe no.
They were all mad as a hatter.
Exactly. And then they all die in the end from mercury poisoning.
Because that's the only thing that I can think of that would, like, I'm sorry. I don't mean to sound ageist when I say this, but Tom Cruise, it is, you are becoming too old to do these kind of movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just like, he does well in Mission Impossible, and that's great. It is a role that he is familiar with, but it's just like, if Universal actually wanted this to have any sort of fighting chance, I really genuinely believe that Tom Cruise should not have been a part of this project at all.
Exactly. Yep. It's like I appreciated when Matt Damon, you know, with the Bourne, the Jason Bourne series, like, he admitted openly and publicly, like, hey, I'm getting too old for this shit. And we're like, dude, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, cool. You know, yeah, you've done great work. So just, you know, rest on your laurels or whatever the phrase is.
It's do other stuff.
And do other things. Like,
yeah.
Stories can move on without those characters. Like, we said that in Lord of the Rings. And, I mean, there's plenty of instances in film and literature of, you know, a character aging out. And that's perfectly fine. I think that's one of the things that is an issue, you know, in so many parts of life, is that people are afraid of dying and becoming irrelevant and, you know, oblivion and whatnot, to make a Fault in Our Stars reference. But, yeah, like, just move on. Move into a new chapter. Find another niche of film that works for you. Like, it's okay to move on and not play the same character over and over and over again. Like,
but I feel like With Tom Cruise, I feel that he is incapable of that because he is not a good actor. He is only capable of being Tom Cruise. Like, I liked him in Interview with the Vampire. I feel that that was, like, a different flavor to him. But I feel that in this point in his career, he is only capable of being this kind of, like, character.
Yeah.
He is not, he does not have the talent to do anything else. And it's just becoming like, people still watch his shit for some reason.
Yeah. Well, see, he could also, like, you know, he could go ahead and, you know, he could produce, he could direct. Yeah. I mean, has he directed? Like, I feel like maybe he's directed before, maybe not. Like, he could try directing, he could produce. He's got, like, you know, with his name and, like, the work that he's done, he could totally be a producer. Mm-hmm. He could do other projects. He could, you know, find other stuff.
I mean,
the
Mission Impossible movies make buku money.
Oh, my God.
He could be like, hey, here's a way that you can do, like, really profitable action movies.
He's directed one episode of television.
Okay.
Fallen Angels back in 1993.
He's got
20 producer credits.
Well, he could just keep doing that.
Yeah, just produce. Dude, seriously.
Yeah.
Unsurprisingly, he's like
a lot of actors
on all of Mission Impossible, it looks like.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
There's another Mission Impossible movie coming out in 2018.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
It's like the only thing that's profitable for him are those movies.
So awful.
Yeah. So, yeah. Tom Cruise, you need to go do other stuff or just other movies that...
The horse, it's dead. It's a dead horse.
Done.
And it's just like... I looked up the age differences between his two female co-stars, and there's a 20-year age difference between him and these two actresses. This is some shit. I mean, obviously, it still happens today, but this is like some old Hollywood stuff. Like, I've been listening to this podcast called You Must Remember This, which talked about, like, the early years of Hollywood. And this kind of movie seems like it should have been made, like, 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Right. This is all old bullshit that we should
be. Yeah.
I mean, it's still, like, big age differences has been a pet peeve of mine in film for years and years. I feel like it bothers me a lot more recently because I'm just like, what the fuck? And especially when you find out, like, that, and not this movie specifically, but in, like, movies where the male actor is, you know, like, in his 50s or 60s, and it's about his character, but the female actress is, like, 10 or 15 years younger, and then you find out that, you know, big-name actresses that you would love to see opposite whoever the dude is auditioned for that role and they were told they were like actresses that are the same age as the guy auditioned for the female role and they were told they were too old. You know, and I'm just like, that's because you hear about it a lot with female actors where they're, you know, just told, oh, unless they're starring in roles where they're like, you know, oh, it's this like reawakening of an older woman or something where like there's an emphasis on her age.
Well, it's just so funny because when like that's in TV, when you have high schoolers,
so much bullshit,
they're like at least 25. Yeah, I'm like, that's not a fucking high schooler.
Yeah.
I don't know who you think you're kidding.
It's so ridiculous. But
Teen dramas or something, I can kind of understand why they want to cast people that are kind of like in their 20s and everything, because working with younger kids is a nightmare because of the fact that they can only work so many hours in a day and then they have to stop working. So you cast adults and you're able to.
Right. And they're usually all like around the same age. Right. Mm-hmm. So even though they're all like in their 20s, but they're all in all of them are in their 20s.
Yeah.
But
so like with teen dramas, I'm willing to give those a pass.
I'm okay with
because
that.
I'm just like, you know, just working with actual kids can be a little bit of a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
But yeah, this type of stuff where like this character should have been played by a 30 something.
Yeah.
I agree.
He should have been played by someone younger.
So, yeah, who would we cast? Because we need someone that looks like strong action hero that can play, like, a little bit of a scoundrel.
Jason
and then
Momoa.
For all the roles.
I got this. It's Jason. He's such a scoundrel. He can play a dude, bro. He's gorgeous. Good. He's young. He's buff. Like, dude, you can see me.
Maybe,
how do I volunteer?
I would want, like, and no offense to Jason Momoa, but I would want someone, and I'm not saying that Jason Momoa can't do dark and complex and everything, but I just feel that maybe you can get an actor I can do.
Luke Hemsworth.
No.
Luke Hemsworth could do it.
He's too blonde.
I just feel like he has too much of a TV face, and that's maybe because I've seen him in Westworld.
Yeah.
And,
Jason Momoa.
Let me see. Hold on. I'm seeing a text message. Blah,
blah, blah. Who else am I thinking of?
Okay. But yeah, Luke, the lesser Hemsworth, I feel that he's just a little bit too TV. I mean, I like his character, what we see of him on Westworld, but I feel like, let me put on my executive vest, because obviously he has to be attractive, which, I mean, Trisha's choice is apparent. Jason Momoa. Let me look up actors that are in their 30s that aren't a part of a major franchise.
It's so hard to find one that, like, because, like, Ian Somerhalder, I would pick him, but then I found out, like, all about his nonsense about, like, stealing his wife's birth control shit, so now I've lost complete respect for him as a human being.
He's canceled.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Chris Pine? I mean, he is kind of connected... Bradley Cooper! Oh my god!
Oh, wait.
I choose Bradley Cooper!
What about Robert Sheehan from Misfits? And he was also in the Mortal... Here, I'll send you...
Which one?
Hold on, sending it to you. Sending it to you now in the chat, maybe, if...
Oh, is the curly hair kid?
Yeah, curly hair kid.
Oh yeah, no, he could.
He's a total scoundrel.
Yeah.
But yes, I still stand by my Jason Momoa because he's big and buff and could totally probably pull these off. So.
Yeah. Jake Johnson could do it. I'm going to have someone else do
Jake, no
fail.
Offense to Jake Johnson, but Jake Johnson is a sidekick. He is not a star. He is a sidekick.
Valid.
I don't know. Maybe no one's ever given him a chance to be a star.
He can be a star. I feel at this point he's way too connected with Supernatural, and I don't see him being in like a big action movie. But I really like Bradley Cooper also.
Yeah, that would work.
Because he would bring so much comedy to the role, too.
Yeah, and you can still keep Jake Johnson, and I feel that they would have that very similar.
Yeah, I think that would work.
And the age difference wouldn't be ultra gross and creepy because they're all in their 30s.
Yeah.
Even though Sophia Boutella looks like she's in her 20s. She's
in her 30s. Is she not 19? I mean, she looks
she's like 35 or something.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm like, this is insane.
Yeah, she's great. I mean,
Let me look up her age.
You get to see lots more of her because I really like her a lot.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, she's 35.
She's 35. 1982. God damn. I'm like, that's not fair.
Jeez, what am I doing with my life? Well, that's it.
God, her arms, she's so ripped. Oh my God.
Yeah, she's great.
Which makes it all the more infuriating that you have this awesome badass chick, but you are going to choose to focus on Tom fucking Cruise.
Yeah.
Tom fucking Cruise.
Yeah. Tom Cruise does not carry this movie, guys.
They want him to carry this movie, but he, oh my God.
I know.
I feel like
Sarah.
Hashtag adult feelings.
Oh, whoa. Jesus Christ. Ugh.
Damn, girl has a fucking six pack and 8 pack.
Seriously.
I think it's 6 pack, but she's working on 8.
I mean, with her boobs, it probably counts as an 8 pack.
Good for her.
You go, girl.
Yeah. Lots more, lots of different stuff.
What? Oh. Sarah, hold on.
Yeah, you continue sending me pictures of Sophia Boutella. No. I'm not gonna. Hello.
What else has what's her name been in the other Annabelle Wallace? Jenny,
Let me see. Let me pull up her Wikipedia. Annabelle Wallace. She was in The Tudors. She played Jane Seymour.
Oh.
And she's also Grace Burgess on Peaky Blinders, which I need to watch.
I need to watch that too.
Already in it.
I keep hearing really great things and I haven't watched it yet.
Let me see. She was also in she was in Annabelle.
Oh, I haven't watched any of those.
Yeah, because I don't watch shitty
Sophia Boutella was in Star Trek Beyond.
Yeah. Or I don't watch shitty, God, what is it that I'm trying to say?
I think that's the first thing.
Horror movies.
Oh, I need to watch Atomic Blonde.
Yeah, you haven't seen Atomic Blonde?
No, it's been on my list.
It's on my
Oh my God! She fucks Charlize Theron, and it's amazing.
I have it on.
Oh my God! I got so hot and bothered the theater watching the scene.
I guess I'm watching tonight.
How have you not watched that before?
You need to watch Atomic Blonde.
I told Joe back when we were still together. I was like, dude, I want to go see this movie. Please, 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 please. And then shit went down.
Yeah, I pre-ordered the digital copy.
Dude,
Charlize Theron and Sophia Boutella, Biggity Bang. And it is so hot.
Even I was into it, and I'm heterosexual.
Damn. Yeah.
Well, even spaghetti is straight until it gets wet. Don't deny you were turned on.
but I feel that actress... I think that she was purely cast based on, we just need a really hot chick.
I think it's
that can
also
be a damsel.
I think it's also the contrast, because I've noticed this in a lot of productions very subtly. You have the good girl who's blonde and pale and blah blah blah. And you have the bad girl who is dark and mysterious and blah blah blah.
It's like a Betty Veronica type.
Yeah, that's the thing of Riverdale.
Yeah.
The shitty brunette and then
The 60s.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Guys, yeah. 60s called and they want their trope back, please.
Well, yeah. But, I mean.
You send this movie back in time. And
why
with,
I'm
like,
totally
the appropriate
fine
special effects and everything. And it would have probably made a ton of money.
Exactly. And can You're I
like,
just
I don't
say
know, it's
how
done
much
it's
the
coding.
Effects
yeah, it's,
bothered me?
It's visual.
Oh, coding. God, it was so shitty.
It was so
terrible.
It was awful. I was like, what is
it's
this?
It's like, this is 2017. You should have better CGI.
Yeah. Well, when she first, zombie sucks the two, like, policemen or whatever when she first comes out of the sarcophagus. Mm-hmm. And then they get up and Trisha, is this some weird Walking Dead shit? Like, I was so confused. And I was like, what is even happening with the effects? Like, it is in the dark, and you could tell the effects were shit.
And why was the thing in Pan's Labyrinth in there?
You look back in 1999 when they showed, like, the dude sucked dry in the Mummy movie.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. that looks better
than this shit.
Most of the effects in that movie hold up.
Probably because that guy wasn't moving.
It's like a modern freaking release, and it looks like shit.
Yeah, bullshit.
Terrible.
And it's like Universal. Are you just pumping all of your resources into this shitty Transformers franchise? And it's just like, they're trying to launch this into something, and I read some articles, which I shared with y'all after we did our first Mummy episode, and this Dark Universe is already in trouble, and it's probably already DOA because this movie did so horribly. Like, they don't even have any sort of, like, we're in pre-production, anything like that for, like, The Bride of Frankenstein. All they have on that page is that Javier Bardem is starring, which, again, makes no fucking sense.
Well, I'm assuming that he's playing Frankenstein.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to see Javier Bardem in drag, just not this in that movie.
That's where they're going.
Mm-hmm. Well, I get it. Like, I would think it's got to be DOA because, I mean, if it made $30 million in the U.S., but its budget was $125 million, like, they're basically upside down on that shit. There's no way that you can bounce back from that and go and spin off this other series. It's kind of like, What was the one where the superhero series they were trying to do? Like, the Inhumans or the...
Yeah, Inhumans.
Like, that, like, just flopped before it even got out of the gate.
It was terrible, you guys. I couldn't watch it.
Yeah. Like,
I tried, because I like some of the actors.
Yeah, I was just like, no thanks. So, if it's not put out on Netflix, I'm not interested.
So just to balance
I am going to watch it anyways.
Just to balance out all of the intense hate and bad feelings that this movie gave us, I will say the one thing I really loved about this was the makeup.
If I had a steadier hand, I would so recreate that blue eyeliner look.
I even like just the tight lining. Like, her dark mm-hmm. look was flawless. I was like, holy shit. Like, I'm down with this. Can we just, like, watch you as a female and, you know, like, appreciate all of the beautiful work they did? Because her eye makeup was flawless. Hella gorgeous. Even with the weird double iris thing. That was just...
A lot of makeup artists on YouTube were able to do, like, some hella creative makeup with, like, the different inscriptions and stuff with the dark markings. Like, mm-hmm. there's a shitload of artists that you can find. One of my personal favorites is Claire DeLise mm-hmm. on YouTube. She did a look on it. Let me see if there's another artist that I follow. LEFX, she did a mummy makeup look. It was really mm-hmm. cool. So, yeah, you can just look up, like, the tutorials that are based on this look, and it's probably going to give you more value than watching this freaking movie.
Yeah. Oh, MAC Cosmetics even has a short video. Yeah, definitely want to look into, like, some makeup looks for that, because her makeup was phenomenal. It was so gorgeous.
Yeah.
I felt so bad for her, too, when they're, like, pumping all that mercury into her, and I'm like...
Yeah.
It totally reminds me of all of those, like, the backstories for, like, characters like Logan or Wolverine.
Yeah.
Where they're, mm-hmm. like, scientific projects and nobody cares about the fact that they're wreaking, like, psychological and physical pain. Like, you know, sure, maybe these people have done crappy things, but that doesn't mean that they deserve to be tortured. Like, this is not American Horror Story.
So I think that is a perfect thing to sort of, like, bleed into their obvious sort of, like, oh, this is our lead-in to do the Dark Universe.
Yeah, yeah.
is the Prodigium, which
is that
I couldn't help but think of Digimon because of just like the Digium. I was like, you have the Digium, which is for like your basic Digimon people, and then you have the Prodigium, which is the expansion pack or whatever video game technology.
It's the DLC.
Yeah,
the DLC.
was there a trailer when he says the Prodigium? Because I swear that I recall seeing a trailer where he said this is the program. But I must have just misheard it.
I don't know.
I must have just misheard it. And I'm like, what? I mean, the Prodigium. Oh yeah, okay, sure. The Prodigium, or you know, the Institute, or whatever. Call it whatever you want. It's
like, I'm sorry, has already tried to be like a thing, and it was called the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Mm-hmm. Just saying.
Valid. Yeah. We already on that.
Like, and it's, again, this does not work. This mummy story does not work in a modern setting.
No, it doesn't.
It's just bringing mummies into a modern setting feels wrong.
Yeah.
This should have been set back. Like, if you didn't want to do the 20s, like the 99 version, do it in the 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do them. You can do this.
And you could do, like, ultra kind of like steampunky atomic punk.
That would have been awesome. Like,
that'd be amazing.
Stuff. Right? God damn it. We can write a new movie and it'll be so much better than any of this garbage that they put out. The Prodigium, it was just like this obvious lead in, and maybe it's just because of my affection for this man. Regardless, like, I don't know why suddenly people don't like Russell Crowe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seemed like since Les Miserables, people are like, ew, Russell Crowe, we're over Russell Crowe. But I still really like
Russell
Crowe.
Didn't you throw a telephone at somebody?
I love him.
I know that he's done shit to paparazzi because he's like, fuck you guys, I'm not playing your bullshit game. So he's like, fuck the paps.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't blame him. I'd be like, fuck the paparazzi too if I were a celebrity. But I still love Russell Crowe. So his part in this movie didn't offend me to my core. And I was intrigued by what they were doing with Mr. Hyde and Dr. Jekyll, because I feel that it was different and it's not going to be like basically like a White Hulk, which is what they did.
Right.
With, like, the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah.
I feel that it was going to be him just sort of, like, morphing maybe a little bit of body mod, but just sort of, like, a morphing of the personality, which is, like, correct me if I'm wrong because I've never read the story, but that's basically what Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde was.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, I only saw the Wishbone version, so...
Oh, the version that I saw.
I've read it a couple times, and actually, the one thing that I will say,
I like that.
I mean, it wasn't complete garbage, but like when he was like getting taken over, and like when Jekyll was talking to Hyde, that is in the book.
Okay,
like he would. So Jekyll would come out. Right, and he would like take over Hyde, and then like Hyde wouldn't remember, but Jekyll remembers.
Mr. Hyde's the bad version, and Dr. Jekyll.
Yeah. Okay. No, you're right. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. So Hyde would remember both sides, and Jekyll could only remember his own.
Okay. And I liked it how like you had the posh version when he was Dr. Jekyll, and he had the very posh British accent. And then when Mr. Hyde would take over, it would be kind of like more cocky.
Yeah, it's very cocky.
And it kind of reminded me of, if anyone else has watched this movie, The Pagemaster.
Yay!
With Macaulay Culkin. The version in that movie is my most indelible portrayal of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde in the horror section, because used to scare the shit out of me when I was a kid. I would watch that. Like, I would get really super nervous when they entered the horror section, because that scared the shit out of me.
Yeah. I have watched that movie since I was like my daughter's age. God, that scared the shit out of me.
I just, I just don't need a whole movie of Jekyll and Hyde.
Oh, no.
Like, I don't need a whole movie of it.
Like, maybe mini movies, like little episodes, that would be okay.
Well, and I think, I believe the intention...
That's why it's...
Right. I think the intention was that he would show up in, like, all the movies.
Be, like, in his fury.
In his capacity. Yeah, in his capacity at the pair of whatever. But, sorry. The Prodigy. Like, you know, that he would show up in all of those because... I mean, we know that story. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, thanks. No.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, so.
It's just like when people are like, oh, we really want another Hulk movie. And I'm like, Hulk is not a solo character. He works much better. Like, the Hulk that we got in Thor Ragnarok.
That was good. Yeah, I'm happy with that.
I could watch either put him with Tony and they're being science buddies. Or you put him with Thor and they're being just like road tripping bros and just like broing out really about stronger. I live for this. Mm-hmm. It's so good. But he doesn't need his own solo movies. He doesn't. He does not work as a solo,
he's a
main
kick. Character
in a movie. Exactly.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah. I was really happy with the Hulk in Thor. Because it is hard to have his own.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't, but at the same time, it's also hard to have his own stuff when there's 18 characters running around.
Yeah.
So doing it, you know, putting him as, you know, like the really close supporting character in another character's
just
movie.
Just sort of like secondary, sort of like supporting character. Well. That works. And I feel that Dr. Jekyll, I mean, I feel that as long as they don't go the Incredible Hulk route that they went in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, because I know that they're making some sort of Dr. Jekyll thing, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing with Chris Evans, that he was supposed to be working on something like that, which I think would be really interesting. Because he is so, like, related to me as Captain America. That I think that something like that, where he could maybe stretch his range and show that he can just be more than like the straight up sort of like white superhero. Cause I think that Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, it can work as like a solo story as long as they don't go again the Incredible Hulk route. Because I think that it is a really interesting sort of like, oh, this like bringing this evil out in you and science gone awry. Let me see. it's still in pre-production. It says that they're working on it. Let me see if there's anybody else. Okay. The only living descendant of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde makes a deal with the dark side.
Of course he does. Ooh. Calm down there, Anakin.
Jeez.
Stephen Moffat's connected to it.
I like female characters.
Well, it says that Ellen DeGeneres might be a producer on this film.
Oh, interesting.
So maybe she'll exert some
Ellen
like...
Ellen DeGeneres, you're our only hope.
Please.
Okay, the other ones that are attached are Anthony Bragarozzi, who is known for The Nice Guys, Deathless, and Dr. Savage. The Nice Guys was really fucking funny.
Is that a movie?
Yeah, it's with Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling. Oh my god, if you haven't watched it, you need to watch it.
I think it's hysterical. Now that you mention who's in it, I don't think I've seen it, but it sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, it's like based in the 70s, and it's just, oh my god, it's so fucking funny.
So is it still, it's still in production?
It's in pre-production right now.
Oh. So we've got a little while.
They're like, they don't have any sort of really release date to it. The only thing that they have attached are like directors, writers, and Chris Evans.
Right, and it's not like he's not busy right now.
Oh yeah, he's totally hella busy.
Like five Marvel movies at once.
Okay, so, all right, so each of us we can put on like our executive producer / like writer hats on, and let's fix this movie. I think that number one, maybe this is just like the feminist in me, but I think that the Tom Cruise role Mm-hmm. We need to just have put a woman in here and have like a female sort of like Indiana Jones type thing. We've had all of these movies where it's like, oh, it's like the big, strong, strapping man coming in and being a scoundrel and raiding graves, and the women are always the damsels. And I feel like it is time. It's 2017. We need to have, like, a friggin' woman doing stuff like this. Because that would be so cool. People are always talking about, oh, little girls now, they can see that they can be Ghostbusters and they can be Jedi. And I want little girls to be like, hey, I can be a shitty grave-robbing scoundrel.
Yes.
Maybe that's not, like, the best thing.
Well, but, you know, women can do that, too.
Yeah, women can be bad and complex characters, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is basically, like, that's, like, the core of what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Is that they don't always just need to be, like, the pretty side, like, arm candy. Like, no offense to the 1999 version. Evie was awesome.
Oh, yeah. That's but, what like, I kind of admired about, like, Hela in Ragnarok. I mean, Kate Blanchett is fucking amazing, but she played such a wonderful female villain. I was like, damn, girl. Like,
you just, like, embrace it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
She's gorgeous.
And I loved it every time that she, like, put on her helmet, so to speak, and she's like, noing, and it was just like, Atlas, and I'm like, yes!
I literally almost bought her Funko Pop figure the other day where she's got the helmet on and the antlers, and I was like, oh, you're so amazing.
Yeah, I got that right before I left for vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks really good. Thanks. So yeah, gorgeous. Definitely we need a different, we need a different protagonist. We need a different setting.
I would keep Jake Johnson as, like, the sidekick, because we need...
He's and he's like not, Evie's brother.
And he never falls in love with her. It's not like this thing where it's like, oh, I have secret feelings for you. They're just, like, women and women. It's 2017. Men and women can be best friends and not have any sort of, like, sexual tension. Don't need to make it a thing. So they're best friends. They work together. And... like, they can still be the army dudes or whatever and just being like, hey, we're turned mercenaries. Keep that. Mm-hmm. And then I would say keep the mummy as, like, a female, but
dude, if they fell sort in love. Ooh.
Oh, man, that would be so hot. But, yeah, make the mummy, like a little... Make the mummy a little bit more complex. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, if you want to have it where she, like, get... Because I think that that would have been really interesting, where instead of, like, doing, like, this murder route, just maybe sort of have it where maybe her father, because for whatever reason, her father didn't want her to rule. And it was like, okay, I'm just going to usurp you as the thing and skip directly to the next penis in line. And she's like, yo, that's fucked up. But she's like, okay, I respect you because you're my father and you're the pharaoh. But then he maybe tries to kill her. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, yo, that's fucked up. And then he, she like maybe like just tries to defend herself. And then he makes up some bullshitty lie saying
and then
that.
And her mummified alive.
Right. Yeah. Just saying, right. She tried to kill me and my family because she was jealous. Mm-hmm. And then she's like unjustly turned into this horrible monster being for something that she didn't even do.
I feel like I've watched a Supernatural episode like this.
That's possible.
Maybe.
Sure,
I believe
there have been, like, rightfully vengeful ghosts.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one where I just Sam or Dean has ghost fever. Because the guy was... The chick committed suicide, and so the ghost in the movie was the guy who they had to literally scare to death again to, like... Yeah. Fix whatever haunting was going on with him. But yeah, I like it. Yeah. I like it. I buy it. I like it. And change the fucking time period.
Have it in the 40s.
Yeah.
Yes.
I like the 40s. Because then
she can
you
be like,
have...
if you don't want to have it because she's like a military person, just sort of have it where she's like an army brat and she's been transported into Egypt. Because, you know, fucking military's always, American military's always putting their nose in other countries' business.
Yeah, there was definitely stuff going on.
Or pull a Claire Randall and, like, have her running around with, like, her archaeologist uncle or something. And that's how she got into it. And then he dies, like, and they have no money. because
people would do that, like casual archaeology. They would just go and like be archaeologists, even though they had, they'd like hire. You know, it was all kinds of weird stuff. Even into the 40s, I think. So
I like it. There's
definitely some plausible.
Fix
the, but yeah, don't set it in modern times.
Fix the setting in the story, and then get a better special effects department, and then you're golden. Like the music.
And if you want to do, like, I think in theory, the whole idea of maybe having a sort of like monster cinematic universe, because it is intriguing to me, but I feel that it would just maybe need a little bit more fine-tuning and sophisticating. I liked the idea, but I don't like the idea with Tom Cruise at the head. And this, like, this current version, which I feel that they're just going to dump, I don't like that version. Especially with Johnny Depp playing the Invisible Man.
No, thank you. Because I feel like the way they left in this movie was that he would totally be popping up.
Yeah.
In the other movies.
They were like, oh, we gotta make him good, because see, he's still a good man.
He'll pop up and he'll, like, help, and then he'll run away or some, you know, like, because basically, like, that's, like, what, you know, Hyde said at the end, that sometimes it takes a monster or something.
And maybe sort of, like, have the mummy version, like, the mummy chick, being all like, oh, hey, there's a good person that's really deep inside me, but maybe she gets, like, possessed by some sort of, like, ancient Egyptian spirit that causes her to sort of, like, freak out and do bad things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you could still totally keep Sophia Boutella as the mummy and keep her around for future movies and not just, like, dry her up and put her in Mercury and, like, oh, no, we have to follow Tom Cruise.
No.
Fuck you, Tom Cruise. Ugh.
No thanks, Tom Cruise.
No thank you. Friendship request denied. And I know that it's, like, really super easy for, like, people to be like, oh, Monday morning quarterback, what was wrong with this movie? But this movie, like, from the beginning, like, from the first trailer that I'm watched, I'm like, there is nothing about this movie that even remotely interests me, except for the fact that Sophia Boutella is the mummy.
Yeah, and she's very pretty, and I would need to know how you guys do your makeup.
Yeah,
because like, they totally that, use, you know, that, Jenny, I mean, she was just a plot device. Like, she was totally, like, there was no reason. There was hardly any reason for her. She was technically the connection between because you needed somebody that was, like, more professional than freaking grave robber, black market, whatever.
Yeah.
But, so she was that, but otherwise, because they tried that whole, like, you know, she helping, like, reminding him of his humanity or whatever. But I'm sorry, those two people don't have that kind of connection. Like, this isn't someone that you are actually, like, so close to that them reminding you of your humanity is really gonna do the thing.
Yeah, this random one-night stand that this dude has. Yeah, oh, like, they have, like, such an intense emotional connection.
No, they don't.
Yeah. And as someone who has had one-night stands, that's not how it works.
Yeah, it's just not.
Yeah.
No.
Trisha's like, I could give a fuck about the person that I slept with in the morning.
No. I'm out. Bye, guys. You were a palate cleanser. I'm sorry. I told you this was nothing serious, and it would never be anything serious. So you were just nice for... Sorry. This probably sounds very...
Okay, bye.
Thanks for that. Bye, Felicia.
Yeah, it was awkward. Sorry, Pete. It just didn't.
I just love it how, like, constantly in this doc we're like, no Tom Cruise, no thanks Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise is not Lawrence of Arabia. Just like,
I love that the one good thing
enough that Tom Cruise does not need to be a part of this movie.
Good things about this movie. Eyeliner.
Yeah.
I should just say good thing about singular.
Good thing about the movie. Eyeliner.
There you go.
Your eyeliner, Sophia.
So any other feelings about this hunk of junk?
I just know.
Why? It's like, terrible. Why? Just
why
just,
is movie?
Why is movie?
Why is
why?
You should totally.
Why is movie?
No, say that, but in a Helena accent.
Okay.
Like, why is movie?
Why is movie?
I love your Helena imitation. It's so perfect. Like the one where I was, oh my God, I was totally in a store yesterday and I was like in my head, I was playing that clip of you being like, yes, hello, Paul. Yes, I had good day.
Yes.
I went shopping.
I went working and shopping.
I love Helena, even though she's crazy.
Your sweet summer murder baby.
She is my sweet summer murder
baby. She is.
Oh, God.
Cinnamon roll with blood-colored icing.
I am so excited to, like, see more of her. She's so great.
Yeah, I'm so excited to watch season two. Because I feel like this is an actual sort of like, you know, like a break because we're covering all these other shows before we cover Orphan Black again. So I feel like it's like I have an illusion of, oh, this is what it was like when Rachel was watching it.
Fair. That's fair. I'll allow it.
Because I have behaved. I have not watched a single episode of season two. I haven't done any sort of reading. I am remaining unsullied for the podcast. Aww. I have behaved myself.
So guys, the 2017 version of The Mummy Sucks. Watch
it. It's bad.
The 1999 one.
It's bad. Don't spend the like $4 that I spent to watch this movie.
Where'd you spend $6.
I got the DVD from Redbox. Oh. And I'm keeping it. Like, I'm just gonna keep it, like,
I'm gonna rent the copy when we do our live tweet. Because, like, for this one, I basically just pulled from memory what I remember about this movie and then refreshed my movie on Wikipedia because I'm like, I'm not paying for this movie twice.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna not do that either.
My original plan was to get it from Redbox, watch it, and then return it and then get it again, but I didn't watch it yesterday like I planned, so I was just like, I'm not gonna take it back and then get it again.
No. So. Maybe I'll just Redbox it if it's only like $4.
Yeah, I would have streamed it, but streaming's weird here at my parents with the super fast internet, except Vudu is weird, so.
Oh, they have Mother out on DVD already. I haven't seen that one yet.
That movie looked weird.
It's really weird, but I love Jennifer.
Well, speaking of actors who are like 50 years age difference, that skeezed me out the first time I saw it. What?
And I love Javier Bardem.
Yeah, me too, but I was like, what now?
I beg your pardon.
Anyway.
But I think that was supposed to be intentionally crazy.
Was it? It's possible. I figured it may have been, but then I was like, I don't know if I want to.
All right, so outros.
Okay. am I going first?
Yeah.
You're first on the list.
Hey, look, there's me. So, after this episode, we recommend that you go back and rewatch and or re-listen to The Mummy 1999.
Nice little palate cleanser.
To refresh, see what a good mummy looks like.
Yeah.
And I guess by the time this episode drops, Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah,
I'm happy 2018. Let's hope it's not a total shit show.
Mm-hmm. And possibly, knock on wood, be any worse.
Oh, God damn it. Not
so good. So
it's going to end in 2018 now. Thanks, Rachel.
No, man. I'm gonna insist on being an optimist. We're going to be able to vote out something. We're really going to be able to drain the swamp and get some of those GOP shitheads. I don't mean to get political. You can cut this out or whatever.
No,
but
I'm going to remain
an optimist.
Yes, well.
We're going to get some of those shitheads out of office. And if you're offended by me being a bleeding heart, blue-blooded freaking liber, I don't give a fuck.
I don't love care. Unicorn.
No Trump supporters are allowed to listen to this podcast. I'm just going to be a dick.
Anyone can listen to this podcast, but, you know, we don't want to engage with you outside the podcast.
Nope. We're just expressing our opinions. Yeah. So.
Love what you love.
Had to end a friendship because he was a fucking Trump supporter and thought that Alex Jones was a good person.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it was bad. So I love it better. So, yeah, that's my baggage.
Here's to a better 2018. Mm-hmm. Cheers.
Yeah.
More new podcasts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, do we want to promote ours, Fisha?
Yeah.
Speaking of new podcasts, like Rachel said, Trisha and I are going to do our own solo cast, Lattes at Luke's. You can follow us on Twitter @_Luke's, or just go on my website, otherbluegirl.wordpress.com, and search for the tag, Lattes at Luke's. We have a little teaser out right now. The first official episode won't drop until April, but we're very, very excited. And you can find all of the different social media links to that podcast. So if you're a Gilmore Girls fan, you should totally freaking check it out. We're very excited about it.
So until next time, I'm Rachel. You can find me on Twitter @GypsyBookNerd. And on Instagram @GypsyLibrarian. And thanks for keeping those nipples covered, Kurtzman.
I'm Sarah. You can find me on Twitter @other_girl, on Instagram @berryblue_girl, and on my website, otherbluegirl.wordpress.com. And this movie is so much white male devilry.
And I'm Trisha. You can find me on Twitter @AONTheEffingGem, and on Instagram @MoanOakery. And looks to me like you're on the wrong side of the river. You can find more Wonking Out on Twitter @WonkingOut, or look for the #WoPod, or visit our blog @WonkingOutPodcast.wordpress.com, and send us an email @WonkingOutCast@gmail.com if you'd like to go back and look at our live tweets from our New Year's Eve. I believe it is #WoNope. So keep an eye out for that. You can watch live tweets at Bonanza. Wonking Out is a Three Sassy Reginas production. If you'd like to hear more from us, check out The Detective, The Doctor, and The Woman, where we're currently talking about Winkers. I mean, Orphan Black Season 1.